Good morning. You're listening to WTUL New Orleans. This is News and Views. And I have on the line Quess, who's going to be the poet here for our event at noon. So can you hear me, Quess?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah,
we have a little bit of an emergency weather report happening in the background at the studio.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a little bit fuzzy in the background.
Right.
So what we have going on today for Memorial Day is calling white folks to stand against white supremacy for the Black Lives Matter movement. It's going to be a symbolic burial of the Confederate flag, followed by a community discussion on the icons of white supremacy throughout New Orleans and the U.S. South. So, Quess, you are a local poet. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, well, a poet, educator. I've been in the education system about 6 years. I used to act in some playwriting as well. And I'm also one of the founding members of the organization that I partner with to make this event happen, which is BYP 100, specifically BYP 100 NOLA. BYP is an acronym for Black Youth Project. And basically, we are a youth activist organization centered around the agenda of protecting young black lives, and we organize black youth from ages 18 to 35 in an event.
And for this event, it's part of the Black Youth Project, but it's also you're one of 13 poets that will be participating in this this event. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so actually, I mean, this is not a BYP initiative. This is something coming from an artist named John Sims, originally from Detroit, now based out of Florida. I was familiar with his work for over a decade now, because he did something with my little brother when he went to school in Morehouse, my little brother's in Morehouse years ago, where he's doing this thing called a recoloration proclamation, where he basically takes the Confederate flag and recolors it in the colors of the African American flag, which is RBG, of course, red, black, and green. So started in college, and you know, really impressed me back then. And when I found out about this project, it was a person here in New Orleans who just inboxed me randomly and let me know that this was happening. And so I got a lot on my plate, and I turned it down originally. But you know, when I really considered that, I thought about it and saw how it was lined up with a project that BYP and I have already kicked off, which is to address some of the white supremacist monuments around the city and have them taken down and have the streets renamed. And so it was a perfect opportunity, and I wanted to hop on that and create an opportunity for more of this discussion to happen and some action to come from the discussion.
Yeah, and it does continue some of the protests that have been happening in New Orleans, going back to Lee's Circle, which has been a site for a similar kind of organization where you can have white allies circling around, kind of creating a barrier between police visibility and folks of color in the center. Were you at the protest that was like that as well last year?
Yeah, I helped organize that protest. And the whole purpose in the back, which is actually something I offered to the group of having white allies go out to periphery, was just to place black lives and black people at the center of this conversation. What we found, which has been really problematic for us as black people, first of all, but definitely as black artists and organizers, is that a lot of these conversations that have come out of the Black Lives Matter movement have been quickly co-opted into a conversation that we're hardly even at the table for, to the point where it can easily become conflated with something like everyone, and then it's all lives matter, and that's true. All lives matter, of course, you know, that's a given. But when we look at the disproportionate rates of state sexual violence against black bodies, you notice a very concerted, a specific conversation we need to have around what's happening to us and why. And so us also choosing to do the action at Robert E. Lee, started there and ended Congo Square, was also very intentional, because we wanted to start off the conversation at the foot of what we feel like symbolizes a lot of the ideology and the thinking and the philosophy that makes it okay for state-sanctioned violence to continue and persist the way that it does. And so you know, when you have monuments to people that enslaved and brutalized black bodies systemically and catalytically when they were alive, that it goes without, you know, a whole lot of necessary question to figure out why, you know, police to this day feel like they can continue to do that. So that was the intention behind doing that, and we definitely welcome our white allies to do today the same thing that they did last time, which is to stand in solidarity with us, and also put that perimeter out there so that, you know, in the event that anyone wants to infiltrate or kind of sabotage, check out what we're doing, they know that they have to deal with the people you like, and that, you know, those of us who have more privilege just because of our skin color are just as upset about this and are willing to stand with us and even use that privilege to offset, you know, anything that would try to upset this.
Right. So you're going to be performing some poetry over there at Lee Circle, and it's going to be followed by a second line to Ashe, where there's a panel discussion. Can you tell us a little bit more about Malcolm Suber and Leon Waters, who'll be joining you in this event?
Okay. I don't want to skip the second line either, though.
Tell us about the second line.
Yeah, so I got my good buddies Mario Abney and Troy Sawyer. They're going to be doing some playing as we do the actual burial process. They're also going to be playing us out as we chant it out and march it on out to Ashe, which is just about around the corner from Lee Circle. So once we get there, we're going to get Malcolm Suber and Leon Waters. I'm going to meet us there, and they're going to do the panel discussion. Now, what's so special about these guys is they've been doing this kind of work for decades, and they actually have an LLC that they formed called Hip History, where they take you on tours and teach you about a lot of the history that's never exposed. If you're to ever go on one of those visionary plantation tours where they tell you, you know, how the servants were, you know, helping their masters fight the union and things like that, they show you the flip side of that conversation. And one of the most powerful ones that they can take you on is the 1811 slave tour. Now, I'm a bit of a history buff myself, so I go to the Cabildo like every weekend, which is the old City Hall of New Orleans, which is now a museum. And what I noticed is, you know, they don't have any mention of some of the things that Malcolm and Leon bring up. And so these guys have dug really deep into the history, and they're going to be able to expose some of those things that just that happened, which is BYP 100, specifically BYP 100 NOLA. BYP is an acronym for Black Youth Project. And basically, we are a youth activist organization centered around the agenda of protecting young black lives, and we organize black youth from ages 18 to 35 in an event.
And for this event, it's part of the Black Youth Project, but it's also you're one of 13 poets that will be participating in this this event. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so actually, I mean, this is not a BYP initiative. This is something coming from an artist named John Sims, originally from Detroit, now based out of Florida. I was familiar with his work for over a decade now, because he did something with my little brother when he went to school in Morehouse, my little brother's in Morehouse years ago, where he's doing this thing called the Recoloration Proclamation, where he basically takes the Confederate flag and recolors it in the colors of the African American flag, which is RBG, of course, red, black, and green. And so started in college, and, you know, really impressed me back then. And when I found out about this project, it was a person here in New Orleans who just inboxed me randomly and let me know that this was happening. And so I had a lot on my plate, got a lot on my plate, and I turned it down originally. But, you know, when I really considered that, I thought about it and saw how it was lined up with a project that BYP and I have already kicked off, which is to address some of the white supremacist monuments around the city and have them taken down and have the streets renamed. And so it was a perfect opportunity, and I wanted to cop on that and create an opportunity for more of this discussion to happen and some action to come from the discussion.
Yeah, and it does continue some of the protests that have been happening in New Orleans, going back to Lee Circle, which has been a site for a similar kind of organization where you can have white allies circling around, kind of creating a barrier between police visibility and folks of color in the center. Were you at the protest that was like that as well last year?
Yeah, I helped organize that protest. And the whole purpose of that, which is actually something I offered to the group, of having white allies go out to periphery was just to place Black lives and Black people at the center of this conversation. What we found, which has been really problematic for us as Black people, first of all, but definitely as Black artists and organizers, is that a lot of these conversations that have come out of the Black Lives Matter movement have been quickly co-opted into a conversation that we're hardly even at the table for, to the point where it can easily become conflated with something like everyone, and then it's all lives matter, and that's true. All lives matter, of course, you know, that's a given. But when we look at the disproportionate rates of same-sex violence against Black bodies, you know, there's a very concerted, a specific conversation we need to have around what's happening to us and why. And so us also choosing to do the action at Robert E. Lee, started there and ended Congo Square, was also very intentional because we wanted to start off the conversation at the foot of what we feel like symbolizes a lot of the ideology and the thinking and the philosophy that makes it okay for state-sanctioned violence to continue and persist the way that it does. And so, you know, when you have monuments to people that enslaved and brutalized Black bodies systemically and patternistically when they were alive, then it goes without, you know, a whole lot of necessary questions to figure out why, you know, police to this day feel like they can continue to do that. So that was the intention behind doing that, and we definitely welcome our white allies to do today the same thing that they did last time, which is to stand in solidarity with us, and also put that perimeter out there so that, you know, in the event that anyone wants to infiltrate or kind of sabotage, check out what we're doing, they know that they have to deal with the people you unite, and that, you know, those of us who have more privilege just because of our skin color are just as upset about this and are willing to stand with us and even use that privilege to offset, you know, anything that would try to upset this.
Right. So you're going to be performing some poetry over there at Lee Circle, and it's going to be followed by a second line to Ashe, where there's a panel discussion. Can you tell us a little bit more about Malcolm Suber and Leon Waters, who'll be joining you in this event?
Okay, I don't want to skip the second line either, though.
Tell us about the second line.
Yeah, so I got my good buddies, Mario Abney and Troy Sawyer. They're going to be doing some playing as we do the actual burial process. They're also going to be playing us out as we chant it out and march it on out to Ashe, which is just about around the corner from Lee Circle. So once we get there, we're going to get Malcolm Suber and Leon Waters, and we're going to meet us there. And they're going to do the panel discussion. Now, what's so special about these guys is they've been doing this kind of work for decades. And they actually have an LLC that they formed called Hip History, where they take you on tours and teach you about a lot of the history that's never exposed. If you'd ever go on one of those religionary plantation tours, where they tell you, you know, how the servants were, you know, helping their masters fight the union and things like that, they show you the flip side of that conversation. And one of the most powerful ones that they can take you on is the 1811 slave tour. Now, I'm a bit of a history buff myself, so I go to the Cabildo like every weekend, which is the old City Hall of New Orleans, which is now a museum. And what I noticed is, you know, they don't have any mention of some of the things that Malcolm and Leon bring up. And so these guys have dug really deep into the history, and they're going to be able to expose some of those things. And just in, you know, the first 5 minutes, you'll have your jaw on the floor and the blade line open here, just how quickly they can delineate how all of these streets, almost, you know, any street that you're stepping on is named after some Confederate general or some white supremacist, and they can give you the history behind each of those people. So they're going to unpack that, and Leon is going to focus on a bit of that, and then Malcolm's going to pick it up and connect to where they've done more than just theorize about this. They've taken action. So back in the 80s, he put together a really successful campaign to get some of the school names changed, because a lot of the schools we sent our kids to were named after Confederate generals and slave owners. And so they didn't have a complete sweep, but they definitely had some of the school names changed from people that symbolized white supremacy to people that symbolized freedom fighting. Instead, Harriet Tubman on the West Bank is a great example. They used to be named after Alfred Meyer, who was a Confederate general. So Malcolm's going to talk about the activism, and Leon's going to talk about the history, and we'll have a little Q&A. Everybody can chime in and also find out how they can get on board with our campaign if it seems they work.
Awesome. Yeah, this is a like way more awesome Memorial Day. I realize that I think in other cities across the U.S., Memorial Day is more of a big deal. I've never really celebrated it here in New Orleans. I've been here for 8 years. But this is such an awesome way of centering the discussion about how we can undo white supremacy together in these different icons. So I'm surprised, you know, you were saying that you were like so busy, you weren't originally going to do it. You've made an incredible event. So what was the big inspiration that kicked this all together?
Well, like I said, I mean, all the work I do as an artist and educator is centered around this kind of thing. And I just had such a full plate. I'm in the process of producing my first play. I'm going to do a small reading this Friday at the Community Book Center. And that is such an undertaking that I was really trying to put everything in the back burner for it. But like I said, when I realized what he was doing and how alive it was with what I already was envisioning BYP doing as one of his biggest projects, I just, you know, I couldn't shut it down, and I couldn't think of anybody that I could pass it to that would be able to pick all that up. So, it's pretty much come together, like a lot of things do in New Orleans, really quickly, organically. We live on really fertile ground, and that's an extended metaphor for, you know, our relations as human beings, because once I put it out there, of course my BYP people helped me out. But like I said, people like Mario, Troy, Leon, Malcolm, it was just a phone call away. So I knew it could come together, and I knew it was too ripe an opportunity to pass. So I just had to make it happen.
All right. So you're listening to WTUL News and Views. This is Nora, and I'm speaking with Quest, the poet who is going to be leading the Confederate flag belated burial in New Orleans. So this is happening at noon at Lee's Circle. It's the Confederate flag belated burial is an art and education-based effort by John C. Sims to create a conversation around the harmful effects of ongoing psychological terrorism in Black communities, especially in the South, and to turn that conversation to action to combat these effects. Symbols like the Confederate flag, statues to racist heroes, and other such traumatic imagery can be found all over the American South, reminding us of America's continued legacy of state-sanctioned violence and psychological terrorism in Black communities. So Quest is going to be one of 13 poets that are participating in the John Sims Project. So if you can go to www.johnsimsprojects.com, it's happening in Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia. Everybody's going to be participating today, Memorial Day, at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So that's noon for us at Lee's Circle, and we're going to have an awesome second line to Ash Shea, also to participate in the panel discussion with Malcolm Soubert and Leon Waters. So, Quest, do you want to leave us off with anything before we go?
Come on out. Come on out. I'm up here making the last sign as you speak, so make your signs, bring your people, and we're going to have a good time, and we're going to, of course, you know, concentrate around some really good conversation and action. So, look forward to seeing y'all.
All right. Thank you so much, Quest. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. So you can sign on to WTULnews.tumblr.com, and I'll link to the website for this event. Please join. It's an excellent way for us to celebrate Memorial Day in a radical way that will, focus on resisting white supremacy, taking it down. So join in. I'm going to play a little bit more of Democracy Now. And if we have a little bit of time, I'm going to play the video that accompanies John Sims' project that is today. So keep listening. It's WTUL News and Views. That's 91.5 FM.
Generation must do it because it's now the only thing to do. It has now become the imperative. So what was principle for our generation now is the imperative for this generation. Because we know that the price of war is too high. We know that the price of neglect of the issues that affect the human condition, we do it at our peril. So that we have a responsibility now to address the imperative. A second difference is Martin Luther King never told us we couldn't do it. He said, go out and change the world. Remember, he said, I may not be with you at the end, but I have reached the mountaintop. And I can tell you this, we will achieve. So we felt that we could change the world, and we went out to change the world. But this generation is being told 24 hours a day, the system is broken, you can't fix it. The system is bought and paid for, you can't get it back. So how can people move to change the world when they are constantly being fed a diet of cynicism, of superficial political analysis rooted solely in partisan politics, or the shaping of personalities as if this individual or that individual can change the world all by themselves, without dealing with the substance of the problems of policies that have to be addressed, but we narrow it down to very parochial, shallow analysis. So what we have to say to this generation of young people, out of a sense of urgency, out of a sense of the imperative, you now must emerge. I've been doing some lecturing at Howard University with young people, and I'll tell you what I found out. Last point. It's not that this generation does not get it. It's that they don't always hear it. But when they do hear it, they get it because they listen carefully. And if I had to bet my last dollar, I would bet it on this generation of young people, because they're not carrying the same baggage we're carrying. And if they ever stand up, they will change America and change the world for their children and their children's children.
Former Oakland Congress member and chair of the Armed Services Committee, Ron Dellum, speaking at a conference recently in Washington, D.C. It was called Vietnam, The Power of Protest. And that does it for today's show. If you'd like to get a DVD copy, you can go to our website at democracynow.org. Also, to watch or listen to or read the transcript of today's or any day's show, go to democracynow.org as well. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkaff, Hani Massoud, Rabbi Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Anna Ozbeck, Mike DeFilippo, and Miguel Nogueira are our engineers. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now!